the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We're live in downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Is the spot. We do have a three-hour banger lined up today. Great guests on the program, including Nick Whalen, NFL preseason takeaways, future bets in 30 minutes. Ed Salmon's on the program, now recently retired Las Vegas odds maker and sports bettor on the show in 90 minutes NFL there with him. And Paul Stone a little bit later on, betting the MAC this year in college football. Feels good to be back. So all of our vacations are done, right?
That's it.
So it's pedal to the metal until the day after the Super Bowl,
basically. That's right.
All right. It's a good feeling.
Let's fast forward. Come on.
Now, well documented here if you listen to this network or watch it all the time, but week one preseason takeaways, Pauly, the dogs were barking like crazy. 9-6-1 straight up, 11-4-1 ATS. The unders also came in, and that's, you know, those totals were bumped up so much, and then the unders come in at 12-4, and this is a great note from Brad Powers, pro bettor, that if you steam chased every 3-point or more line move, sides or totals, right before kickoff, 0-10-1 against the spread.
You believe it? That I'm stunned by that.
So am I.
You got to be scared off. I mean, Miami +1 to -4.5, lost. Browns +1 to -3, lost. Jets +1 to 5.5, no good. Saints 3-point move. 4-point move on the total. 4-point move on the Vikings total.
Right.
Not even close what happened.
Well, I think I mean, betting quarters and halves, I think a lot of those got there, right? But full games,
okay,
negatory.
Yep, tough with the Colts, 4 turnovers, fumbling at the 1. Cincinnati, backdoor cover by the Lions. I mean, it was bad. The only thing you can hang your hat on is just Denver destroys people. That's 8 in a row now, straight up in ATS. And the only Atlanta touchdown was because Denver fumbled deep in their own territory. It's just Denver's a freight train. They're the new Baltimore.
Pretty much.
What they've done.
And that's funny how Baltimore just continued with Harbaugh. And they got the job done. And that was a smoke show over the weekend. I made a couple of bets that, first of all, how did my Jets-Browns moneyline parlay come in? Is that a winner? Should I go up to the window and try to cash that one today? And also I had Colts team total over 10.5 in the first half and for the game 19.5. I'm still wondering how that lost.
Yep.
At the 1-yard line, they were going up and down the field. The turnovers were just, it's like, oh God, here we go. Welcome back football. They could have had 3 touchdowns easy at halftime.
Right.
But a loser, and that's a donkey kick to the stomach.
I can't believe how bad these moves couldn't get there at all. It goes back to Thursday. Tennessee got there, but it was from pick up to 7, and then it falls 6. But this is just, it's not what's supposed to happen. You have teams that are going for it, quarterback battles, teams that are signing guys off the street, injuries everywhere, undrafted rookies starting a quarterback, and they're cashing tickets.
Yep. Now, this is a great note from VSiN host Scott Seidenberg, and his website is betterday.com. If you go back preseason under since 2012, it's only 52%. But when you bump it up, because the totals, again, were so high in week one, unders on totals of 39.5 plus 60%. The last 5 years when the total is 39.5 or more, 63% to the under, Pauly, last 5 years. So definitely make note of that. And a bunch of other stuff that I'm wondering about is, well, I mean, they just want to run Jeremiah Love like literally into the ground?
Yeah.
What 14 touches overall in the first preseason game? What is happening here? And then he gets injured, and there was a great breakdown on X about like running backs who have a similar injury to the one that Love sustained. It's like there's a noticeable decline like from the numbers. You know, he's only a rookie, obviously, but there's an impact here. I couldn't understand that. I mean, come on, guys. You took him 3rd overall.
Dart, why does this keep happening? I can't believe it. I have to go to the tent again. It's the damnedest thing.
Right.
Yes.
Is that going to be the whole narrative around that team this entire year yet again?
Oh, I'm already hearing it. Everything under Giants, he's going to get hurt. He can't last the season. Yeah.
Well, it's
absolutely
just the way that he plays football. How does he possibly rein it in?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly, you know, we have last year to go on, and we're thinking, well, what's it going to look like now? New coaching staff, he comes in. Did he learn anything? Bam, right to the blue tent again immediately. And then they have so many, like the defense should legitimately be pretty damn good, but tough division. And he's not the only guy, like the other skilled players. Scataboo, what is his overall IQ?
Mm-hmm.
Neighbors reports have been really good about him looking good. Mm-hmm. But I mean, one wrong turn and that could go sideways for him. I really want to like this team overall with the talent and the new coaching staff. I can't do it this year. I've said that many times throughout the summer, yep. And I'm sticking with that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love them under, so that's yep. Just nothing changed for me.
Did you do any alts with them? Or just under 7.5?
That's not bad. You could look at that. I'm considering alts on the Bears, that there's no way this is going to continue with the luck factor that they had last year in a tough division.
What'd you make of that comment from Ben Johnson, though?
He's out of his mind. I know. It's like every coach says, we want to make the playoffs or win the division. He comes out, I want to win the Super Bowl, win every game, set the points record, shut people out.
Yep.
Calm down. Will you just take it easy, man, dude?
I want shootouts. I want blowouts.
Yeah.
I want to be the highest scoring offense ever.
Yeah, that's 38 a game then, the average.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Yeah. Best of luck with that.
Uh-huh.
Think about that. The Broncos averaged 37.9 a game that year in 2013 when Manning was mm-hmm. going up and down the field on every team in the league. Mm-hmm. But so our buddy Adam Chernoff, I get the newsletter. He sent this out. He's like, look, based on that comment, the week one total against Carolina was 46. I don't know. Maybe Adam was a big reason why that moved. That's sitting at 47.5 now. 46, 47 mm-hmm. seems certainly a key number in NFL totals. But that moved up a good point and a half, maybe two at some spots. That was at 46, wiped out, long gone for week one. And I'll tell you another observation that I had based on, you know, talking about Jeremiah Love. They'll be fine at running back because they did, you know, they got Connor still waiting there. They got Benson, and they also brought in Algier. My takeaway from that game is, well, first of all, the Raiders are going to be bad again on defense, but I think actually competent on offense. And that's aren't the Cardinals going to be the team? Ben Johnson talks about playing in shootouts. Isn't it going to be Arizona again this year?
I don't know about that. I don't like the quarterback.
But look at their weapons, though, Paul. Yeah, I think you could go out
quarterback,
there.
Though.
They could also go to Beck right away if they wanted to.
I don't know about that either. Minshew looked good. Your buddy Minshew looked
good.
Yeah,
he did. He did. I just think the defense is going to be uh-huh. really, really bad. And I'll take my chances with McBride, the aforementioned running backs. You have Harrison. You have Wilson. And maybe the quarterback play is bad, but in theory, the defense is going to be so bad with that brutal schedule, you're going to be playing from behind a lot anyway. So mm-hmm. just don't throw four INTs a game and put some points on the board. I looked around because Caesars and DraftKings, they have every single game up for the regular season, I think with the exception of week 18. There are some tasty totals with Arizona games. We're talking mid to maybe high 40s, where I think I might have to get down for games of the year.
Well, look, why not look week one against the Chargers?
Okay.
Chargers might do whatever they want in that game, too.
Sure.
I mean, because we've talked about it all summer. This is a team that lost 14 of their last 15 and was god-awful defensively. So mm-hmm. I don't think anything's going to change in Arizona. So and the Chargers will be popular in Survivor, too. But I'm anxious and interested to see what they look like now with a competent offensive coordinator.
Yep. That total's 46.5. I could see myself being on that number.
How about the Jets game under? Should the Jets-Titans have a total of 40?
Probably not.
How bad did they look? Oh, now Trubisky's hurt. Their offensive line was putrid.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same crap, I think, at offense with Tennessee. And good luck with Geno Smith, though, too. But I don't think there should be a total of 40 in that week one game.
We are going to do, I don't want to overreact, but in an hour, I'll give you one right now. I don't want to overreact, but, Paul, there is zero hope for the Jets or the Browns.
Both of them? I'd say more hope for the Jets.
I would too. I mean, I'm being a little over the top with that, but for the Browns, do the Cleveland Browns have any hope whatsoever?
No. I bet their win total under, and then you saw that mess Saturday. It's everything you want. It's why the line moved 4 points.
Yeah.
You have a battle at number one, quarterback number two, and quarterback number three. They're signing guys off the street to play defense. Allen blitzes a few times. They get home every time. You blow a 10-0 lead. Case Keenum looks like Montana. You can't stop anything. That's alarming. And then Monken doesn't even want to have a quarterback competition because after the game he said Watson was exceptional. No, he wasn't. You scored 10 points.
Right. A 10 of 11 passing. Exceptional.
Yeah, it's all Charlie checkdown.
Exactly too. Right.
So it's just Sanders was awful. The second half was atrocious. That was alarming. How bad? I mean, the Bears, Case Keenum goes 9 of 10. Sure. A dump off goes for 41 yards. What a travesty.
Play none of their starters, basically.
Yes, right.
Brown's going for it, you know, with those battles that you talked about. It's one game. Were they the worst looking team in week one of the preseason? And they're certainly in the conversation.
Atlanta, but that's also, Tua wasn't ready. Cooper Rush just off the street, throws a pick six. Peyton always goes for it in the preseason. The Zappy looked terrible.
How is he in the league?
I don't know. Once Klubnik came out, it was a mess for the Jets. And not that it matters, but Seattle was atrocious.
Yeah, they were.
To score 7 points against the Cowboys and have one nice drive.
Yeah.
That was disappointing.
But they'll be fine, obviously, one would think, unless Darnold goes back to the guy, I don't think that's going to happen.
Jets, maybe. I could see the Jets winning five games.
There's
no hope for the Browns.
Yeah, I don't see it.
No.
I really don't.
And the worst thing, as we said last week, the worst thing possible is if Watson has a good year. That then he's for, you know, you can't sell it. Oh, how about a contract extension?
He'd be super happy to get another contract from the team.
He's got to prove he can stay healthy as well. I don't think they're sold on him either, but horrible job by Sanders coming in there as well. That was like, just a putrid half of football.
I'll compare them to a team inside their own division. Again, it's one preseason game, so I don't want to get crazy here. But how is it possible that the Browns couldn't look like the Steelers did?
They were, yeah. Every guy they threw in there looked awesome.
Yeah.
Howard, Aller, awesome.
Across the board.
Total bet on. That opened too low against the Jets coming up their next game.
Yeah. Yes, correct. I agree with that. It's alarming already. Up next, we'll dive into Major League Baseball. What a weekend for those of you holding tickets at 10-1, 25, 100-1 possibly, for this team simply to win their division. Paul, you hear it all the time. Baseball is such a funny game. A lot of broadcasters will tell you that they see something different in the sport every single day calling games for those who have been doing it for several years.
Number one.
Yeah. And how about this? In my fantasy baseball league, I picked him up that morning, but never put him into my lineup. Three home runs.
Come on.
Good move, Mitch. And I'm in second place of that. That could have helped, actually. But this goes back to right before I was on vacation. We talked about that Red Sox-A's series where the Red Sox were world beaters and they're going to win the entire thing. I'm like, watch him lose 2 out of 3 to the A's, which they did. The A's took the series. Now fast forward to last night, today, whatever. The Rays were the hottest team in baseball, winners of 9 straight. What a Malinsky special, by the way, on Friday.
It was.
Against the Orioles. And the Orioles are going for the sweep today.
The Orioles are in the playoffs if they started today. How about that?
Yeah.
You got, what, 7 teams within a game and a half? Unbelievable. Boston won 32 of 37. Now they've lost 7-9 in 3 straight series.
Yeah.
Hello. Rutschman is one for his 17 since he joined the club. And Baltimore's playing well. Huge sweep by the White Sox.
Blue Jays are playing well.
Yeah, Blue Jays out of nowhere. That's right. So this is, and it's St. Louis. They're 3 outs away from winning their 10th game in the last 14.
Yeah, again, that's another one. What was that from the Chicago Cubs this weekend? It's specifically like they're starting pitching to lose 8-4 and 11-4 to the Cardinals?
Yep. Mets are out of time, but still, they've won 9-12.
Huh?
Friars on fire, 17-22, right? There's a lot going on here, and there's just going to be, record-wise, some lousy teams in the playoffs.
Oh, no question. That's too many teams make it. You play 162 games. You can't have 12 teams make the playoffs overall.
They're finally getting it. Or if they're finally getting it right in their face.
Yep.
You want to throw all these playoff teams, and here comes a bunch of crap then.
So how about this now? In that White Sox sweep of the Tigers, because of who was pitching in those 3 games, specifically Melton for Detroit, who was basically the hottest pitcher in all of Major League Baseball, and he got roughed up.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that Caesars had the Tigers minus 130 to win the series. Now, that team, Mike Palm here at Circa and on VSiN, he has the White Sox at a really big number to win the division. I know other people who have them like 10-1. I've seen tickets 25, 40, and sportsoddshistory.com, they track all this stuff. I think it was back in December, the White Sox opened up 100-1 to win the division.
Good God.
So I'm sure people have that as well in pocket.
Okay.
Just to win the division.
Season high, 5.5 game lead. First time since 2008 at Wrigley that the series is at Wrigley and the Cubs and the White Sox both are over 500. So stunning what they did because they've been so bad on the road. Melton's human. Finally, human finally had a bad start.
Right.
So I'll be up 5.5. And now it's just like, at this point, can Detroit, Minnesota, or and Cleveland, and or can someone even get to 500? I don't think they can. Four games under, five games under, five games under. Texas, three games under. Toronto, four games under. Baltimore, in the playoffs, two games under. I mean, will these teams even finish with a winning record? That's right. Why you have to love your White Sox ticket even more. The teams behind them are inconsistent, and Detroit was playing so well. But then they come in, they get swept, and now they're 5-5 last 10. So it's right there for the White Sox, and they just these rest of the teams are just gar. You saw that with the Twins, too.
No,
the Phillies made them look ridiculous.
Yeah. And by the way, the Twins were up 5-0 in the game yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And then just forget about it, got absolutely blown. So
they run in the first inning, too.
I would say the Tigers and the Guardians, they do have, again, in theory, I mean, it's based on the numbers, they have really easy schedules. So maybe with what now, 6 weeks to go in the season, maybe one of those teams can actually take advantage of that schedule in front of them.
I doubt it.
Probably not, because at this point of the season, you kind of are who
That's
you are.
That's right. I'm with you. It's the middle of August.
Yeah.
If you're under 500, it's like, you know, it's not happening.
Also, like, you know, so you're looking good right now hanging out of those White Sox division tickets. How about this? I mean, for maybe some of the same people have them at huge numbers to win the American League. I can't even imagine what numbers. Mm-hmm. Why not them? This has been the story of the American League the entire time. We're just going to trust the Yankees to be at full strength, to be the best team in the American League, and to win the pennant come Mark, October?
I love the pitching. I mean, it'll be a different offense when they get Judge back.
Oh.
And what do we do with the Red Sox now?
They're so perplexing at this point.
Right.
Did they just completely peak too early, and then that's it?
Mm-hmm. And you still have to respect the Rays, even though this strange series against Baltimore. That they can hit and the pitching solid. It's just everyone goes through it. Everyone's going to have a rough stretch. So they're just having a bad series right now and still have an awesome record. National League, how about the Dodgers? I mean, that's
well. What do you want to say?
They're four back of Milwaukee now because Milwaukee has the tiebreaker. So I don't think they're going to have a better record than Milwaukee. Atlanta has won 11 in a row against the Twins. By the way, that series starts. So they have a lot of work, and I'm glad. I mean, I don't know what took so long, but Dave Roberts finally lit into them. Tucker's dropping fly balls. Why is Diaz your closer still?
Mm-hmm.
You give him the vote of confidence. He walks the bases loaded and escaped after he blew three saves in a week. So it's just a listless effort out there by the Dodgers going back, and they better get right and it better start tonight. Now, 260 on the road against the number one pitcher ROI in all of baseball in Sagano, but they got to get their act together.
Paul, you can get, and Snell's off a great game, 10 strikeouts, obviously, playing at Coors tonight, but you can grab plus 1.5 runs with the most profitable pitcher in baseball and get plus 145. Maybe there's a plus 150 out there. And then you have to win the game outright. Just lose by one run, you're good to go.
Uh-huh.
I don't hate it. Well, at that big of a plus price.
Snell's been bad at Coors' career. ERA of 6. You have that as well. And it's got to be an Ohtani game. He's hitting .600 career against Sagano. 3 home runs and 8 at-bats.
Well,
so I think I saw it with Caesars. The total bases was 2.5. Crazy here.
Well,
he should feast tonight.
And PCA homered yesterday, so Ohtani would probably like to match that because you know that he wants to win the MVP again. And I'll have more on that coming up in about 45 minutes, but the odds did change there when they threw around the idea of Ohtani coming back in that game. So here's my question about the Dodgers. First of all, the Saturday before the deadline when the Dodgers got Skubal, that the odds moved on the Brewers, still with the better record at the time, to 5-1 to be the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
They were 5-1. We brought it up on the air and we discussed it for Milwaukee to be that number one overall seed in the National League. So I'm just curious about the Dodgers. It's not a takeaway from losing 3 out of 4 to the Brewers, which was not pretty for LA. It's more about, we're talking now since the All-Star break, last month and a half, et cetera. Are we going to look back at like this moment right now, this period of time throughout the regular season in the playoffs and say, should have seen it coming? Like the signs are there that it's just not going to be the Dodgers' year? Or is this going to be like last year when they had to go to the Phillies and play in round 1, never had a bye, and they just, okay.
I don't think they're going to have a bye, though.
I don't think so either.
That's why I think they could go down.
I don't think so either.
And also, I think they're just doing this, we'll flip the switch in October.
I don't know if it's going to be that easy.
I think it's going to backfire as well. That's right.
I think some of these teams that might be in their way in the National League going to be a little bit stiffer competition than last year.
Yep.
We saw this. I mean,
Phillies would be a tough matchup.
Oh, yeah.
Cubs would be a tough matchup right off the bat.
Braves?
Braves, yeah. Milwaukee in the next round, or NLCS, whatever it's going to be.
And if the Dodgers get the Brewers in any sort of a series in the playoffs, they have to match it up so Yamamoto goes against Mizorowski. They have to. Otherwise, the Dodgers will not beat Jacob Mizorowski. And I could eat those words later on. That is such a clear edge, and he dominates this team now. This is not a one game off. It's like plenty of he hasn't been around for 20 years, obviously. But in the sample size that he has against this roster, crushes him, kills him. And they have no answer for him. Yamamoto is the one guy on the team that could match him. And he's probably the biggest big game pitcher in this sport right now. We don't know about Miz, obviously. But I'll take my chances with him against this team. Other than that, you throw anybody at the Brewers, and I don't even love their offense at all, but that's Milwaukee's game.
Well, that's been the problem, though. They can't get anything going offensively against the Dodgers going back regular season and playoffs. And if Diaz doesn't bail them out in one of the games, the starters have been so good. But it's about time.
Should have blown both.
I know. It's about time Roberts finally said something. Yeah. 4 or 5 of below-average production in the offense. We haven't played clean baseball for quite some time, and it speaks to the defense.
Well, they look old, too.
5-11 in the last 16 games. Swept by the Red Sox and the Cubs, lost to Arizona and the Brewers. Since July 1st, they're 18-21. That's a bigger sample.
Sure.
That's some good numbers right there as well.
And also, we saw yesterday, so they did not get Scooble, the Brewers, but man, oh man, Miz into Logan Henderson? Pretty damn good.
Good. All right. Most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Ungambled is built on a different idea. Match betting and arbitrage, a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers. And Ungambled backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they'll refund your membership. Start with the free guide at ungambled.com/VSiN. Ungambled.com, code VSiN, 10% off at Ungambled. Good luck.
All right, you can always get in touch with the show. Email is ftm@vsin.com. Instagram as well, VSiN Live. I'm at Mitch Moss. He's at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram to reach out there. NFL's up next. Takeaways from week one of the preseason and future bets as Nick Whalen joins the program from Prop Points here on VSiN and RotoWire coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
It feels good to talk NFL like every single day now. And we continue that now by going out to the Progressive Guest Line as Nick Whalen joins the program, does a great job Monday through Friday with Prop Points here on the network, also with RotoWire. The show here is at 1 o'clock Eastern time. Nick, thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm great, guys. I'm great. It's good to be back in this routine. Like you said, good to be able to talk NFL and not feel like we're just shoehorning it into the show every day. I think we've officially made it.
I think so, too. You can almost taste it right now. So let me run this by you. And I'm using DraftKings right now. The odds to win the NFC North. The Lions are plus 170. Packers second shot ahead of the Bears. I'm not sure about that. I know the Bears' schedule is more difficult, but they're a better roster in my opinion. Bears are plus 305, Vikings plus 510. Overall, what's your take on this division, Nick?
Yeah, there are two teams in the NFC North that I really like, and they are Detroit and in Minnesota. Chicago, to me, is a little bit of a black box. I am here in Wisconsin, so maybe there's just a little bit of hesitancy to actually buy in on a Bears team, but I think if I'm in on two of those teams and I'm kind of neutral on the Bears, that means I have to be down on the other team, which is, of course, the Green Bay Packers. And I think there's still plenty of talent on this roster, guys, but it feels like a lot of the depth that has kept Green Bay afloat amid injuries, amid up and down play, losing games 2 or 3 times every year that they have no business losing, you know, that depth has been able to keep them afloat and at least put them in the wild card mix every single year. I just wonder what happens. You know, they're going to be without Micah Parsons to begin the year. we'll see how many games they get out of Tucker Kraft. I know he's ahead of schedule in his recovery, but the way he plays, you always worry about him. Jordan Love has been banged up. Like, who knows what's going on with Josh Jacobs? I just have a lot of question marks right now about the Packers. And I do wonder if we're going to look back and say, you know, last year, if they had been able to stay healthy, maybe that was their opportunity. And maybe they've been passed up by some of these other teams in the division. You know, Minnesota is probably the team I'm most above market on. I'm not going to go as far as to say they're going to win the division, because I think the schedule is just so favorable for the Detroit Lions. I think that offense is going to be back to firing on all cylinders. But the party line for me, guys, has been we just cannot underestimate how much of a competency bump Kyler Murray is going to bring to this offense. And it's not because I'm a huge Kyler Murray fan. It's just look at the quarterback play last year. I mean, it was Max Brosmer. It was Carson Wentz. It wasn't just J.J. McCarthy. This team still won 9 games despite having bottom 3 quarterback play. They were bottom 5 in the NFL in offensive EPA, in passing yards, in first downs, in yards per attempt. They also led the NFL in turnovers. So not only were they going 3 and out all the time, they were also turning the ball over at a high rate. And because they couldn't throw the ball, because they had no threat at quarterback, the running game completely fell apart. So I think even if Kyler Murray can just come in and give you league average or slightly below league average quarterback play, there's still a really high floor for this Vikings team.
Excellent. How about the AFC West? And some people sleeping on Denver, I think. They're the third choice to win that division. How do you see the West playing out?
Yeah, the West is really, really tough to me. I'm with you. I think Denver's probably a little bit underrated now. You know, a lot of things broke Denver's way last year. I didn't think Bo Nix really took a leap forward at all. And yet they still had a better regular season than they did 2 years ago. But that defense has just been so dominant and so consistent. And, you know, I don't, maybe they're hit with injuries or something this time around, but it's hard to see why that would fall off, you know, in this third year with Bo Nix. I'm not sure I'm buying the Chiefs right now as the favorite. I understand why they're the favorite at plus 160, but it still feels to me like the way this team is constructed is you're going to need superhero play out of Patrick Mahomes week in and week out. And for a good, like 4 or 5 year span, that worked out for the Chiefs. It feels like that's all come crashing back down the last couple of years. And I know they've made some improvements. I think some of the changes on defense, you know, bringing in Mansoor Delane to help, you know, solidify that secondary, that'll help. But you're in a really, really competitive division. I mean, there are going to be no free wins when you're playing the Chargers, playing the Broncos. They have a difficult schedule as always. So I'm not buying the Chiefs at plus 160. I think Denver's probably the best value if you're looking at winning that division. The Chargers on paper look great. If they can avoid injury like last year, I think they'll be in that mix. I'm very excited about what Mike McDaniel can bring to that offense. I still kind of want to see it in practice before I just anoint that team.
Totally fair. Follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Nick Whalen, he is on the Progressive Guest Line. You get his show along with Jeff Erickson called Prop Points Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock Eastern right here on the Sports Betting Network. Where were you at, either fantasy or season-long prop betting potentially, with Jeremiah Love before the injury, and where are you at with him today?
I was a little bit cooler on okay. Jeremiah Love. You know, part of it was I just didn't love the pick necessarily. I actually think Arizona is slightly underrated as like a fantasy landing spot. You know, I think we talk about them as this team with a 3.5 win total. They're down at the bottom. Like they're a level ahead of a team like the Dolphins to me. I would put them maybe a little bit closer to the Raiders. And I think you could argue that there's more offensive talent on this roster, even though they were losing every single week with Jacoby Brissett last season. They were still putting up points. They were still in games. They were still competitive. So I don't really see a reason why that can't be the case again this year. As far as the injury, though, I mean, I don't think we're going to see Love the rest of the preseason. And, you know, maybe he wouldn't have played much anyway. That's not that big of a deal. But not being able to practice for almost a month leading up to week one, that's a concern for me. You know, just not getting those reps. Is he going to be rusty to begin the year? Arizona also has a brutal schedule in terms of the defenses they face, like the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. There aren't really great fantasy landing spots for him. Now, I'm not sure I'm buying what they're telling us as far as, oh, we want to get James Conner involved. We want to have a ton of Tyler Algier. When you spend a top 5 pick on a running back, I think there's an obligation to use him. I mean, there's a reason he touched it 14 times in the first half of that game on Thursday. So usage-wise, I think it'll be fine. But I think this could ultimately end up looking a lot like Ashton Jeanty last year, where we still feel good about the player and we feel good about the workload, but you know, ultimately the situation is probably going to drag him down. I will say though, the big difference between those guys is you could get Jeremiah Love now in the third round, even into the fourth. Whereas last year, if you wanted Ashton Jeanty, you might've had to take him with the 10th, 11th, 12th overall pick.
Okay. You gave out Stripling at 33-1, Offensive Rookie of the Year, mm-hmm. with Pearsall out for the year. Great Shanahan offense. He looked fantastic and had 7 catches on Thursday night. I think this is a good ticket. State your case that this guy could be in for a big year.
Well, first and foremost, I mean, this was 33-1 on FanDuel, 20-1 at DraftKings. So even as we get closer to week one, you're still seeing some pretty major pricing discrepancies with some of these futures plays. You know, you laid it out well. I think we trust the offense. We trust the coaching. We trust the quarterback play in San Francisco. I am not high on Mike Evans. He was the number one guy on my do not draft list this year in fantasy football. There's just a very, very short list of players who have produced at a high level at this point in their careers. You know, maybe it gives you some touchdowns, but I don't think he's going to be a reliable number one option week to week. Like you said, Pearsall's out. Christian Kirk, we'll see. You know, he keeps bouncing around. He keeps getting hurt every year. I think there's a realistic world in which Stripling ends up basically as the number one receiver by accident for the Niners for like half of the season, depending on how their injury luck goes. And then the other part of the equation for me, guys, is you look at some of the bigger names, some of the receivers who were drafted early in round one. I like a lot of these players. I don't really love the landing spots. Like, are we that high on Carnell Tate in Tennessee? Jordan Tyson? Like, I like the Saints. I like Tyler Shuck, but ultimately he's a distant number two to Chris Olave. He has injury concerns. Mekhi Lemon, you know, we'll see what kind of impact he makes in year one. There's not an obvious, oh, this guy's going to hit the ground running. He's going to put up 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns right away as a rookie type of player in this class. So I think the race could look a lot like last season where, yeah, Tedrone McMillan was fine. He won the award. It wasn't Ja'Marr Chase. It wasn't Odell Beckham who ran away with it their rookie seasons. I just think the bar to win it is going to be a little bit lower than it's been for the most part over the last decade.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't like this year's draft class, to be honest. And I think, I mean, holding 33-1 right now and Stripling is obviously a fantastic number, and the potential of him in that offense could be off the charts. What does your portfolio look like overall in terms of other bets that you have with awards? Did you do anything with MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Coach, any of it?
Yeah, MVP is one where I'm willing to take a long shot. So some of the names that I've been looking at and talked about on our show, it starts with Jalen Hurts to me at 28-1. I know it's not a popular opinion. I'm still a Jalen Hurts supporter. I do think the A.J. Brown thing could be addition by subtraction as far as just allowing the Eagles to play how they want to play and not feeling like there's this obligation to get A.J. Brown involved every other week. So maybe we go back to Jalen Hurts from a few years ago when he was runner-up for the MVP. I think a sprinkle on Jared Goff at 35-1 makes sense. No quarterback has more touchdowns. No quarterback has more yards than Jared Goff over the last 4 seasons. If the Lions are as good as I think they could be, I have them 8-1 to be the number one seed in the NFC.
There you go.
I think Jared Goff will at the very least be in that conversation. And then Baker Mayfield, who you can find as long as 55-1. He's the other one. I know the Bucs had a disastrous run to finish the season, but if we get Baker Mayfield from the first half of the year, there was a point, I think it was week 7, week 8, where he was like plus 230 to win MVP. It was him versus Josh Allen at that time. Again, you look at the NFC South, the bar is not that high to win that division. If the Bucs can get to 10, 11 wins, maybe that's enough for Baker Mayfield to force his way into that MVP talk.
Great spot as always, Nick. A pleasure talking to you as always, and really looking forward to it now on a weekly basis. Thank you.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Nick Whalen on the Progressive Guest Line. Follow him on X at Whalen, but replace the L with the number one. So W-H-A-1-E-N. Win, lose up next. You remember when everything was going over not that long ago? Well, it is completely flipped. How about 14 straight unders? Paulie, details next.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Unders 12-4, week one preseason. Dogs 12-4. Moves of 3-plus points, 0-10 ATS. Buccaneers plus 225. Washington plus 150. Broncos 8 wins in a row straight up and ATS. Rams 7 in a row ATS. fantastic this has offered at DraftKings. Unbelievable. Browns to have 100 receiving yards in the first quarter, 11-1. Bills plus 950. Bears three touchdown passes, plus 650. That's wild that with markets in preseason football that they offer with some of the props. UFC was...
Is it like, do you know, is it the same number as like the passing yards or...
I have to look at it. Yeah,
okay.
I got to look at it. I didn't know that stuff was available. Right. UFC, Wells to have a submission in round 3, 120-1.
What?
He was 32-1 to have a submission, period. To win in round 3 was 35-1. Add it up. How about that? Johnson, sub round 3, 60-1. How about that two-teamer? Submission, 16-1. To win in round 3, 16-1. Magny did it again. Knockout 6-1 to win in round 2, 10-1. Gore by decision, 4-1. Stolfus, submission, 15-1. What was going on this card? Going in round 2, 25-1.
Oh, those are crazy numbers, man.
What a way to start your career for Baez. First three appearances of your career, three home runs. I didn't, who knows what three, I didn't see it.
Probably not, yeah.
Two home runs was 78-1. Arenado, 55-1. Scheffler runs away with it, plus 450. Here's what Mitch was talking about after a 25-8 overrun. 14 straight WNBA games have gone under. There's one game on the slate tonight. 14 in a row, some of them not even close. Fever plus 2.5 to minus 1.5. Beat the dream. Soccer's back. So is the Butcher. Meat Man, 4-0-1 with a bad push. MK Dons gave up a goal in the 95th minute. Good job, Meat Man.
Awesome.
West Brom, 3-1 outright. Championship League overs, 8-2. Fleetwood Town, plus 330. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com. Our radio and podcast friends, you always want to see these tweets and videos. At Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram, send them in. We'll put you on. Sean hit this before the show. Playing Ultimate X, 50 Cent in the middle. He had it four times. Got dealt for the Royal and popped the middle one. $8,000. 20 minutes later, same machine. No multipliers, but a Royale with cheese on the bottom. $2,000.
Same machine.
How about that?
Never
that
happens something? To me.
I know. What happened to you before the show? Oh. You're playing in 10 play, and you get dealt four of the Royal, and you can't get it. How about this gal? Same type of deal. Although she's playing in dollars. For the Royal dealt. Look at all the 10 times. Can she get one? It's $40,000 if she can get one. Three of them are 10 times. Bam, right there. There it is, Mitch. Why didn't you do that before the show?
So, yeah, I was dealt. I was playing 10 play for a quarter, by the way, not a dollar. For a quarter. Dealt four clubs to the Royal. 12 times upper right corner. They threw me the 9 of clubs. That would have been 12,000 right there to begin the day.
Look at that. $40,000, I know. Imagine if she gets that dealt. That's incredible. You got to get one. One out of 10. Come on, man. Got to get one.
Paul, I can go on a rant about this at some point. I'll save it for a little bit later on. It's incredible how often the bad news is there for you.
It's an end of an era. An all-time run. An iconic family steps away. Dr. Buss and then the family. The Lakers won 11 championships. Today, they decided to sell their remaining 17% stake to Kushner and Bob Iger. Jeannie Buss will no longer have the needed ownership percentage to remain governor. So they are out. So it's what, $12.5 billion, and you add 18%, and then you whack it up six ways. There's six kids left, in addition to what they sold when they got the $10 billion a year ago.
Are they going to be okay?
I think they'll be all right. Yeah,
all right.
They'll make it. That's it for the Buss family. Lose some.
I wonder if they regret selling now originally.
No kidding. Why didn't you wait a year?
Right?
I know.
Well, by the way, that Walters guy.
Not good.
No. This is not trending well.
No. I'm just going to take insurance money and other people's money and buy sports teams?
Did you see this? He's selling.
Yeah.
He's selling. What's going on here?
No kidding what's going on. Falcons now a 1-15 ATS run at home in the preseason.
Okay.
Chiefs have lost 7 in a row. Dolphins plus 1 to minus 4.5. Browns plus 1 to minus 3. Jets plus 1 to minus 5.5. Saints plus 1.5 to minus 2.5. Under 38 down to 34. Denver, Atlanta over 37 up to 40.5. Minnesota, New York over 30.5 up to 41.5. It got to 42.5. All no good. And one bad beat, Browns Bears under. That lunatic, Ben Johnson. Who was in the game? It was like a four-string quarterback. I can't remember. He's throwing the ball up 17. with 4 minutes left.
No, he doesn't
go
care.
Down the field and
he,
score.
Again, he wants to set the all-time points record, he said.
Yeah, football season is here. Sharp money already moving. Exclusive data feeds from four major books. Thousands of sharp bettors and pro syndicates tracked in real time before the market moves, and it's filtered and sorted by version 6.0 of their AI model. Every play logged, every result public goes back to 2011. Their record gets audited daily by their own haters. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycled plays. Get up there, get the Telegram, follow them. They do an excellent job. Sharpplays.com.
AP poll was released today for college football. Pat Forty, friend of the show, tweeted this out. First time since 2015 that no SEC team got a number one vote in the preseason poll. Ohio State got four. Are you surprised by this? Like almost the runaway number one team in the country after how much they lost? I know, get it. It's the Buckeyes, so all they do is retool.
I'm surprised that Indiana is like six, but got a lot of first place votes.
There you go, yeah.
And then what, Alabama first time in how long? They're not in the top 10?
I think that goes back to 2008.
Wow. There it is. Yep, 13th.
So.
I don't get the Texas stuff. The Sark's got to prove it to me. Win a big game once.
How about this?
One time win a big game.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree. I would agree. 20, maybe some betting takeaways here on Ohio State. 20 of the last 22 preseason number one overall teams have failed to win the national title. The last team to do so, Alabama, was number one in 2017. They won the whole thing. Ohio State 6-1 to win it. Julian Edlow, some good numbers here from DraftKings. In 22 of the last 23 seasons, at least one team in the preseason top 10 has finished the year unranked. We've talked about that before.
Uh-huh, yep.
So who was it this year? LSU's not top 10. Texas A&M would be my go-to team there. The one that would finish unranked. It was a doozy last year.
Three of them.
Yeah. The Penn State and Clemson misses were just all time with how bad those universities were. And in 29 of the last 32 seasons, at least one team that was not in the preseason top 25 went on to finish the season ranked in the top 10. So that will probably happen yet again this year. And no Clemson, by the way, in the top 25. First time since 2011. How the mighty have fallen there.
Ooh, long time.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And it's the fourth time in the last 34 years that Notre Dame has been ranked in the preseason top five. The Irish finished the season ranked 17th or lower in each of the previous three. A lot of hype. Can't handle it in previous years.
Over 11.5 plus 150. Incredible. $8 to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Are they in at 10-2?
I think so, yeah. They lost to BYU and, BYU and Miami, if those are the losses, we'll see.
I heard
might get it done. I would think so.
GBT was talking about this earlier on Money Moves.
Is that thing going right now? Is this start now? They're automatically in if they're at a
the
certain
top 12 or whatever it is.
Automatically in.
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So in the Big 12, GBT's talking point was, you know, how many teams can get in. The total on that is 1.5. But his whole thing is rather than bet that, just bet BYU at plus 330, and they have a manageable schedule outside of hosting. Notre Dame, they also play the Holy War, obviously, against Utah, but he likes them in that game. And his point was, if BYU loses to Notre Dame in the regular season and then loses to Texas Tech in the Big 12 title game, and that's it, they win every other game, are they in with two losses? If it's a close game at home against Notre Dame, but they lose. At plus 330, that's assuming that, you know, will they take another team from the Big 12? Because are we going to get four teams from the Big 10? Are we getting four from the SEC? I don't think the Big 10's getting four.
No?
I think they get three.
Yeah.
But I think finding a fourth team is kind of tough.
How about I don't know about the USC, love. That's kind of perplexing as well.
They have to go 10-2, right, to get in?
Yeah, their schedule's brutal.
It's middle of August here, but you know for a fact that people are going to be shouting from the mountaintops to get a 9-3 team in from the SEC.
Mm-hmm. That'd be a good prop. A lot of people have said it on the network.
Uh-huh.
Will a 3-loss team get in? That's an excellent idea for a prop.
So when you're trying to find like who's going to make it, that angle, again, that has to play out exactly like that. And maybe they beat Notre Dame. Who knows? But and speaking of BYU there, zero hope already for NFL teams, and the Dodgers are in trouble. I don't want to overreact, but is up next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.